So we are trying to discuss the importance of the Vedic sound. And Vedas glorify the sound vibration as the most powerful energy of the Lord. And like for example in Taittiriya Brahmana, I will read now the quote. It is said that Vak, O Goddess Vak, the speech or sound vibration, is born from Rita. Rita is the universal law according to which the whole world, the whole creation is working. This is harmony or rhythm. And it is said that Vak is the mother of Vedas and navel of immortality. In other words, by the Vak, by the sound vibration, you will be able to achieve this highest possible state of existence, immortality. The problem which we have been dealing yesterday, though, is very severe. And the problem is that because our consciousness is perverted, is inherently perverted, then when we pronounce the Vedic sound, we are not capable of pronouncing it purely. And because of this impure pronunciation, the sound becomes perverted as well. And instead of changing our desires, it starts serving our desires. So this is basically the definition of offensive chanting. The pure sound vibration is supposed to change our perverted desires. But if the sound vibration is impure, if it's reflected in our impure consciousness, then it may have an opposite effect. And that was what I was trying to explain yesterday, and I will continue for some time today. There is a very beautiful article published in The Harmonist by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. The article is called The Word and the Life. Shabda and the life of the conditioned soul. And he starts this article by quoting Premavivarta, Jagadananda Pandit, where Jagadananda Pandit says that it's not enough to say, Gaura, I'm yours. It's not enough to raise up the hands and say, I'm yours. What one has to do is one has to live the life of Gaura and to see the world as Gaura has seen. In other words, you have to have the same worldview, the same sambandha, jnana, as Lord Gauranga was teaching. And you have to live the same lifestyle, the same way as Gauranga was living. In other words, you have to have the same abhideya. And you definitely have to have the same prayojana, which Gauranga had. Then only your world will become powerful. And he says, he goes on to say, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he goes on to say that if you don't do this, if you don't adopt, if you only adopt the external, and external in our case unfortunately means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, but being pronounced in an external way. If you don't adopt the lifestyle of Gaura, if you don't adopt his worldview, then your achievement, what you will acquire, just Vaikari sound. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says. You will only speak these words by your lips and by your tongue. That's it. And this is offensive. He says, this is aparad. This is the crime against bhakti. And these offenses will ruin your holy name, your chanting, and ruin many, many other things. So we will continue this topic a little bit today. I will explain in more details what I started to explain yesterday. But before that, I wanted to make a little experiment with all of you. We will chant now the sound Om, which is the, as we said yesterday, primordial sound vibration from which all the Vedas The Gayatri Mantra came from Aum, then from Gayatri Mantra all the Vedas came, all the Vedic sound vibrations. Then from the Vedas Vedanta Sutra came, then from Vedanta Sutra Srimad Bhagavatam came, and from Srimad Bhagavatam came Krishna Lila. Basically it's all in this sound vibration. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, as I explained, there is an explanation in the 11th canto how you should meditate on this sound vibration. So we'll try three times, but in a different way. First, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, chapter 6, verse 37, it is explained that this sound has double nature, is avyakta and swarat. Avyakta means sound aum. Avyakta means that its power is imperceptible. In other words, you are not immediately perceive the power of the Vedic sound. But swarat, it's totally independent. It can totally rule your life if you do it properly. So first we just... And it is said there that the first vibration was sounding in the heart, in the sky of the heart of Brahma, the Creator. And some people say that the frequency of the proper Aum is this B1. I don't know if it's correct or not, but at least I heard this, so you can try it. That's actually, by the way, why most of the singers from Vedic tradition, they have this B1 as their sa, as their main tone. So, A, U, M, and then this nasalization, this bindu at the end. Let's close the eyes and chant it. And try to perceive what are the changes in the consciousness. Discovered that the sound Aum has the form of Sri Yantra. When somebody pronounces this Aum properly, then Sri, the form of this Yantra, appears. So what we will do now, we will take the hint of Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that when you chant this mantra, the sound Aum, you should see the Lord within your heart. And the heart is like lotus. It's a lotus flower. And the Lord is there, standing on this lotus flower. And you should try to see the Lord at the end of the sound. He says, Dadante. I am at the end, nada ante. I am at the end of the sound. And Siddharaswami, explaining this verse, he says that Pranava Omkara consists of five parts. A, U, M, then this bindu, nasal sound, and then finally nada. Beyond this bindu, beyond this very subtle vibration, there is even more subtle vibration, the five part. And there at nada, you will meet the Lord. At the very end of this sound, He's there, He's waiting for you. He is ready to shake hands with you. It's just, you should do it very properly. And it is also explained that this sound, it goes up. Krishna explains this. It goes up through your spinal cord. The A starts here. When you pronounce A, it's in the stomach. Then U is vibrating here, near your Ajna chakra. Then M and nasalization is vibrating here, in your Sahasrara chakra. And then nada is up there in the spiritual world. So let's try it again with this concentration, with this understanding that this is actually the passage through which we can meet the Lord. And at the end of the sound, somewhere there, the Lord is waiting for you. Did you meet the Lord? Siddharaswami says that he's there. And the, very significantly, and it is also explained by Lord Krishna, and this is actually should be the result of our chanting. Lord Krishna says, when you chant properly, your hearing capacity will be cut off of all external sounds. Did you notice it? That if you chant properly, this is such a powerful vibration that all the external sounds which constantly bombard our consciousness, which constantly bring it down to the material level, they will be cut off. You will not hear them anymore. You will be there. So we will do the third chanting, third exercise. And this time we will do it internally. For that you have to take off your glasses if you have them. You have to put, don't do it now. You have to put your thumbs in the ears, and then you have to close your eyes like this. Don't do it now. So you have to really plug your ears and your eyes, and then by chanting you have to really try to hear the sound internally, because it is said that the sound Om of Hare Krishna mantra is resounding within your heart. It's there within your heart. And the yogis who do this yoga meditation or sound meditation, they hear the sound, and I will explain what they will hear and what we are supposed to hear while doing this, in the right ear. So let's try to do the same. The same Aum with the ears plugged and inside, and seeing how with the vibration our life force or our consciousness is being elevated to the highest possible state. And first I when you stop chanting, did you hear a sound? No? Try it again, not now, later on your own. If you do it properly, you will very clearly hear a very high sound in your right ear. And the yogis who say this, who practice this, they say that through this meditation, gradually the sound changes. If you start this meditation, it's something like, you know, they say it's like the sound chini, 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 chini. I don't know what it means, but chini, whatever. Some kind of very high sound is there. But then they say that by this meditation, you will be able to go step by step. In Hamsa Upanishad, the stages are explained. First you hear this chini, chini sound, and then you hear bell. You hear the bell, how it rings, this very high sound of the bell. Then you hear conch, shankar. Then you hear veena, the sound of veena. Then you hear very familiar sound, guess what? Karatas. Then you hear karatas. Chuk, 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 chuk. And then after karatas, you hear lute. Whose flute it will be? It's Christmas flute. You will hear the sound of flute. But that's not all. It is said, and it's Hamsa Upanishad, it's one of Yoga Upanishad, has nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tradition. They say that after that you will hear the sound of Mridanga. And after that, what you will hear? You will hear how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's all there. It's all in the spiritual world. This vibration is constantly going on. This eternal kirtan is going on. Kirtan of glorification of the Holy Name. It's there, and it's in the sound dome, and it's in our practice. We just have to have courage to enter it. We have to have actually determination. And today I will a little bit speak about this this point, which qualities we have to achieve this state. And this layout which I gave is about this. So yesterday I spoke about this particular problem which is very much familiar for us. And I quoted this verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which makes the statement that one has to vibrate this sound again and again and again, despite of the power of this sound, despite of the immense power of this sound. This practice has to be repeated, and it's a hard labor. It's a sacrifice, it's ongoing, continuing sacrifice, which has to be done very persistently for years and years in a row, because of the perverted consciousness which we have. And therefore it is compared with the striding of the sticks. And then, as I said, there will be a lot of smoke. And I'm sure you all experience this. A lot of smoke is going on when we're chanting. But there is no fire. But then the first spark of the fire will appear. And this first spark of the fire is called spurti. Spurti means sudden appearance of the Lord. Or it may not be as the Lord Himself, but it may be this very exalted, elevated feeling which you all of a sudden have. And I'm sure you all have this experience, especially in the beginning when you're not so advanced in devotional service and when you're not a senior devotee, you're less offensive because of this. And therefore, Krishna is more merciful. Therefore, Krishna gives this immediate experience of spurti. Spurti means you may not see the Lord as He is, but you may feel His presence. You may feel a very elevated and very wonderful state of consciousness or state of bliss, which is there in Lord's association. So this first spark or little sparks which there from the struggling, they're there, and the Lord mercifully, He like kind of lifts the curtain which separates us or our consciousness from Him. So then I quoted this sutra from Vedanta Sutra, which I also quoted in this handout. Avritira sakrit upadeshat. And that because of the upadesh, because of the repeated statements in the Vedas that you have to do it again and again and again, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, you have to do it, you have to do it again and again and again. And lingaccha means also because of the sign. Because, and Baladeva Devotion explains what it means. It is understood that repetition is necessary for the conditioned souls who have committed offenses. And I gave the list of five obstacles which appear in our consciousness if we chant improperly. And these five obstacles are described by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha in Anucheda 153, if somebody is interested. And I gave the Sanskrit names, Sanskrit classification there, and translation for this. And I will try to dwell a little more on this because this is very important to understand what offenses are and how why our sound, or why our prayer, why our attempt to address the Lord becomes offensive and therefore becomes powerless. Because of these offenses, they don't really bring about the result which we expect from this. So, if we chant offensively, and offensiveness means, basically, as I explained yesterday, that by our lips and by our tongue, we say something, but really our mind is somewhere else and our desires are somewhere else. We're not really in harmony. We're not really there. We're approaching the Lord. You know, we're calling the Lord, "Oh my Lord Krishna, come." And He comes in the form of His sound vibration. And we turn away. You know, we call somebody, hey, Haribo, Prabhu, you know, and Prabhu comes. And then when He comes, you immediately turn away and go somewhere else. Will He be offended or not? I had this experience very clearly. I understood how the offensive how the inattentive chanting means offensive chanting. We had a little meeting about some important subject matter, and there were different devotees there, and there was a group of devotees, and there was one devotee who is kind of, you know, he's junior. He is there, he played an active role. And then, you know, at one point we were discussing something and I started speaking. And of course, when you speak, it's definitely something very important, right? You know, everyone has to hear this. There is no doubt about it. And then this guy, you know, who is junior, who is much junior than me, you know, he's just got initiation, this and that. So his mobile phone rang. And he took out this mobile phone and got up and walked out. When I started speaking, my goodness, I was so offended. I couldn't continue speaking. So offended I was, because, you know, because I started speaking, you know. And actually, it's interesting, because he called this meeting. This guy called this meeting. I came. I wanted to speak. And at the moment I started speaking, he walked out to speak with somebody on the phone. So, but isn't it the same we do with Krishna? We do exactly the same thing with Krishna. We call Krishna, Krishna, and he, you know, he says, "My dear devotee, I was waiting for you for so many years when you will call me," and he runs. Well, probably he doesn't run anymore because he knows what's going to happen. We immediately turn away from him and we say, "Nah, I don't care." So, this is exactly called crookedness, or kautilya, duplicity, or when you're not sincere. It basically means insincerity, or crookedness means you say something and you think about something else, isn't it? This is what duplicity is. You're saying something, but you think completely different thing. And when we say Krishna and think completely different thing, it is duplicity. It is something, you know, we're calling Krishna. At the same time, Krishna is not that important for us. We have thousand things which are more important to be in our consciousness at this very moment. So this is the first thing. And therefore, Jiva Goswami explains that this crookedness becomes reinforced by offensive chanting. We are crooks. We are duplicitous. We all have this problem. Because, why we are crooks? Because, you know, because once we wanted to be the Lord, right? You know, I'm the Lord. This is the original sin of the living entity. Like these Christians, they have this very peculiar concept of original sin, which somehow or other Adam committed, and we all suffer for this original sin. Very, very fair judgment. But it's not Adam, it's we. We have committed this sin, and this sin basically means, you know, in this myth, in this story, in the Bible, it is very clearly said that the crooked mind crawled to Adam and said, "Do you want to be like God?" Anatoly said, yeah, sure, sure. I want. Sure enough, yes. That's what I want. So this is this crooked mentality, which becomes even more crooked, even more difficult when we chant offensively. And then what happens next, it's also very interesting, because if we're not careful about committing apparatus, if we're not really attentive, and if we're not really trying to bring all our consciousness into this very holy and sacred process of chanting of the holy name, then the next effect is ashrada, you become atheistic. Why? It's also very understandable. You know, you're offending God, left and right. And, you know, nothing happens, right? You know, you're not going to hell, and, you know, and you really start doubting, is he there or not? You know, I'm offending him. You have this offensive mentality. It's actually also very significant, these offenses in Judaism, in Jewish tradition, how this importance of avoiding the offenses against the holy name is stressed so much there, because it is said that you should not pronounce the word, the name of God, which is not different from God himself. It's not different from God himself. You should pronounce it in a neglectful mood, because by doing this, you become atheist. By doing this, you lose faith in God, because God withdraws himself from the holy name. And, you know, nothing happens, and you don't feel there is God, and, you know, and because nothing happens, you know, you lose your faith. And because you lose your faith, you cannot take shelter of God anymore. You cannot take shelter in the face of him. So you have to take shelter in the threefold things of this world. In TV, you know, you have to engage your consciousness somewhere. So therefore, you know, you somehow or other develop this strange attachment. And we can see that after so many years of consistent namaparada, sincere Bhakta Joe, who has become a senior devotee, Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, all of a sudden puts a TV set in his fancy office and secretly starts watching TV there, or whatever else can happen, you know. And this is this list is there in the handout which I gave to you. It is said, Bhagavan Nishta Chyavaka Vastvantara Abhinivesha. All of a sudden you become Abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means absorbed. Absorbed in the things which Bhagavan Nishta Chyavaka, which totally destroy your faith, your firm faith in Bhagavan. So this is what is going on. And that, because of this, you become also Shaithilyam. Shaithilyam means lazy. Shaithilyam means you become slack in your devotional practices. Your practice, instead of bringing you something, it becomes a very tedious kind of thing, very boring. And because it's so boring, you know, who wants to do it anyway? So you're doing it just because you are so advanced. But you can't stand it anymore. And you think, my goodness, what is going on? So this is what it is. And it's, if we are not careful about this, this is a very natural progression, or shall we say degradation, very natural degradation. And it's interesting that because this chanting of the holy name, it kind of you know, calms down your mind. It, in one sense, it stimulates some thought process. Like Ravindra Swarup, he explains the episode story which happened with him. He brought his university professor first time to the temple, and the university professor started, you know, chanting in the kirtan. And after that, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was amazed, you know, he's chanting so enthusiastically. So he asked the professor, how did you like it? Did you like this? And professor said, yeah, this is glorious. When I was chanting so many far out thoughts appeared in my mind, and I started thinking about it. This was so nice. Did you notice the same thing with you? You're speaking with Krishna. You're calling Krishna. You're calling him by name. You say, my dear Lord, please come to me. And then so many far out things appear in your mind. And you have your little gizmo to, you know, to record this for the eternity so that your generations after you will not forget this. And you write it down, and so many different things are there. So this is how it's, this progression or degradation is going on, from crookedness to facelessness, from facelessness to this absorption in the things which are detrimental to devotional service, from there to slackness in devotional service, and finally, the most ironic thing, the crown jewel of your devotional career. I'm sorry, it's a mistake here. It's written Chvabhakti, but it should be Svabhakti. Svabhakti adi krita manitvam. Manitvam means pride. Bhakti adi krita, all your achievements. You become very, very proud because of your achievements. Your so-called achievements in bhakti. Because what is pride? Pride actually manifestation of that something is lacking in us. We have to really compensate our... We're not honest enough to admit that we're a failure in devotional service, right? And because we're not honest, we have to really, you know, we have to somehow or other compensate this defect of failure. And we start enumerating and making a long list, you know. Like I was in the office of one devotee, and he had the whole wall in his office full of different, you know, this, you know, how you say, certificates and, you know, different, you know, whatever, different prizes which he achieved, which he received for his achievements in devotional service. And it's just, you know, he's sitting and chanting and looking at this, you know, this and this and this, all these diplomas which you get, you know, this is... This certificate, you did this, and you know, you donated that much here, and you did that, and you did, and you know, I'm a great devotee of the Lord. So, and by the way, you know what is the Sanskrit name for diploma? It's upadhi. Said by Rupa Goswami, the pure devotional service, sarva padini vinirmuktam, tat paratvena nirmalam, you have to relinquish or give up all your diplomas. You should not try to hide behind the diplomas which you have, behind all the prizes and everything which you achieved. You should really strive for the pure bhakti. Upadhi is not that important. So, and while explaining this, Jiva Goswami, he gives an example, a very drastic example from Mahabharata. He says that, look what happened in Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, Krishna came to Hastinapur. And before Krishna came, Duryodhana with his best friend, Shakuni, he devised a glorious reception for Krishna. You know, they thought about the best things which Krishna would love. They would put the dancing girls, because Krishna loves dancing girls, right? You know, he's there in Vrindavan, he's always dancing. So they put the best dancing girls all over the way, you know, to please Krishna. And then, of course, what else Krishna loves? Krishna loves when somebody praises him, right? So Duryodhana, when Krishna came, he started praising Krishna and saying, you know, my dear Krishna, you are the best, you're the glorious. Yes. And then he got the best cooks from the whole empire, the best cooks were cooking the best possible dishes for Krishna. And Duryodhana said, my dear Krishna, please come and take this wonderful meal which we prepared just for you. What did Krishna say? Forget it. Forget it. I'm not going to you. There is a banana peel in Vidura's house, which is waiting for me. This is what I'm going to take. I'm not taking this stuff, which you prepare. And the funny thing, this is not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing is the reaction of Duryodhana. Duryodhana, he became really offended. He said, "You have no right, Krishna. I'm offering to you with love and devotion. See so many dancing girls and prizes and meal." Krishna said, "Forget it, you know. Banana peel is better." So this is what Jiva Goswami quotes. He said that you offer something to Krishna, but if you're not offer it sincerely, wholeheartedly, if your whole consciousness is not there in your offering, if you're not doing this really for the sake of Krishna, if you really have some other goal in your mind, if you really want to achieve something through Krishna, because of Krishna, or by Krishna, then it's offensive. And because it's offensive, it doesn't bring the desired result, and Krishna just doesn't take it. He does not accept this offering. So this main thing is crookedness in the heart, which we have to deal with and which we have to be very clear about, that we are cheaters and we have to deal with it. And therefore, Sachinanda Swami, he quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, very beautiful saying. He said that Vaishnavatam means Saralata. Saralata means simplicity. Sarala means straightforward. Sarala means outgoing. Saralata means you're very straightforward. So, also Jiva Goswami quotes in Bhaktisiddhanta also very interesting verse from Vishnu Dharma Purana. And this verse says that one who is crooked, this is the problem with the crookedness. And it seems almost like a vicious circle. First statement there in this verse of Vishnu Dharma Purana, it is said that if you're crooked, your attempt to be honest will have 100 impediments. 100 impediments, 100 obstacles on your way. 100 obstacles will stand on your way if you're crooked but you want to be honest. Right? It means that we want to be honest, but there are so many reasons why we should not be honest, right? Which our crooked intelligence will provide us with. 100 reasons you will get to not to become honest. You know, what will people say about you? You know, if you will be straightforward, people will think you're really simple and crazy, and you know, and they will say you're so simple and this is Mahaparada, and you know, so many other things will be there. But this is not, please hear, listen attentively what is the first line. Then it said, and if you're crooked and you want to perform austerities, there will be 1,000 obstacles on your way. In other words, if you're crooked and you want to be determined and you want to do something which is not really pleasing for your senses, you will have 1,000 obstacles for this. You will try to fast on Ekadashi, and the mind will provide you with 1,000 reasons why you should not do this, because it's really crazy, you know, only crazy fanatical people do this, and so on and so forth. But this is not the worst. Then this verse says, if you're crooked and you want to love Krishna, there will be 10,000 impediments on your way. 10,000 obstacles will stand there on your way. So this is the way to stress how important it is to be sarala, to be very simple, to be very, very honest with oneself in the first place, and to be very, very honest and loyal to the practices which we are doing. Because honesty also means honesty towards the practice which we do. If we do some practice, we have to do it wholeheartedly. Our whole heart should be there. So, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and I will not be able to say many more things which I wanted to say, but I will say a few things and then I will maybe have little time for questions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that for bhajana, and I quote this here, this is from his article in Sajjana Toshani Shaithilyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that you need only two qualities for bhajana. Only two qualities, nothing else. One is this sharalata, which means simplicity, honesty, which means you're really not pretending to be anything you're not. You're really what you are, and you're trying to be in front of God all the time. Because God is seeing you, and you have to really develop this consciousness that you are in front of Him, and whatever you're doing in front of Him, or in front of your spiritual master. And another one is determination. Determination means, this dridhata means, you're determined. It means that if you really want to do something, you do it. If you really want to achieve Krishna, you have to do it. You know, like it is said in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Areyatma Drashtavyam, you have to see the Lord. You must see the Lord. You have to achieve this goal. So these two qualities are there. I listed it here. And then he also, there is a very beautiful article in the same Sajjana Toshani magazine, which is called Bhakti Pratiraparada, which means the crime or the offense against Bhakti. Against Bhakti Devi. And in this article, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explaining what is the offense, what is the nature of offense. He quotes a verse from Chaitanya Bhagavata. And in this verse of Chaitanya Bhagavata, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, he quotes Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, he says to the devotees who assembled in front of him during his Mahaprakash Lila. You know, Mahaprakash Lila is the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's glory, his Aishwarya, and at the same time, manifestation of his mercy. In his Mahaprakash Lila, Lord Chaitanya was giving, you know, whatever anyone would ask, you know. Anyone would ask to him and said, please give me bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, take it, take it, take it. And somebody would say, give bhakti to my aunty. And Lord Chaitanya would say, yes, yes, your aunty will have bhakti for the rest of eternity. And you know, Lord Chaitanya was giving this very freely. And then Srivas Thakur appeared in front of Lord Chaitanya, and Srivas Thakur said, you know, I can understand everything. I cannot understand one thing, why Mukunda is not here? And why you're not giving anything to Mukunda, who is such a beautiful singer? And Lord Chaitanya said, he is an offender. I don't want to see him. And he will never see my face. This is Sachinanda Maharaj ki. Lord Chaitanya said, he is an offender, he committed an offense. And then he explained, and because of this offense, I will not see him. So what is this offense which Lord Chaitanya is talking about? He said, this offense is that, you know, he goes to one sangha and he speaks about Yoga Vasishtha. Then he goes with devotees and he chants and he has the, you know, straw in his mouth and he's so humble. And then he goes somewhere else and they speak about something else and he also speaks about something else. So there is two understanding or understanding of two offenses here. But the main thing is that offense in the mind of Lord Chaitanya here is that you have some other goal. That in your mind, in your consciousness, something else is more important than bhakti. This is the essence of bhakti pratiraparada, the aparada, that something else within your consciousness is more important than bhakti and the relationship with the Lord. And this is the root cause of all other offenses, and this is the root cause of our faulty or insincere chanting. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives the list of qualities which counteract this offense. And the most important quality is this ekantata. Ekantata means you have only one goal, one aim, and one prayojana. So there is a lot of things which one can also say, but I have to finish because my time is over, and I will finish at this point. I wanted to say more things specifically about the role of spiritual master and how actually we get all these things from the spiritual master. But I'll just conclude by saying that in reality, this little seminar which I wanted to provide is very closely connected with the seminar of His Holiness Satchinananda Maharaj, and also quite closely corroborated with the seminar which Urmila Mataji is giving about appreciation of Srila Prabhupada and about her beautiful point how we can get the culture, that we can get the culture from somebody who cares about us, somebody who is near and dear to us. So we can get rid of all these problems, and that's the only way to get rid of all these problems, if we have very close and vital and not formal relationship with the spiritual master. By the way of this connection, we can get all the qualities which are required to make our chanting pure. We can get the proper consciousness, proper determination, and everything else which is necessary for us to achieve this elevated state of pure consciousness, which can only be achieved by the chanting of the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. But chanting it properly. In this way, the sound will liberate, will give you the highest possible goal. And in this way, you know, we will achieve all our other desires will be achieved automatically. So I'm really sorry, there is again no time for questions. And I didn't even speak half of what I was supposed to speak about different aspects of these things. But in any case, please forgive me for my deficiencies. Hare Krishna. Thank you.